2 weeks ago, we started a brand new series, a smaller series actually, entitled Bold Faith. And we talked about how, just to kind of catch up here, that because we're living in the last days, we talked about how that the last days began on the day of Pentecost, according to the apostles in the book of Acts, about the outpouring. But we are in the last of the last days, the final closing, if you will, the final chapters before Jesus Christ comes back. You know, sometimes people have the mistaken idea that when Jesus, before he comes back, there's going to be this, you know, all these goosebumps running up and down your spine and things like that, you know, and I'm not making light of that. But, you know, the Bible says it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah, that men were, you know, eating and drinking and giving in marriage and, in other words, going to the marketplace. He said it was the same day they were doing that the flood came and took them away. He said it'll just be like that in the last days when people will be caught off guard. But how many of you know we don't have to be caught off guard? Now, I believe because of the things that have been happening and transpiring in the body of Christ, especially in the last 30 years, that there's been more persecution against the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know, back in the book of Acts, we find, we're going to see today, that they suffered immense persecution. And the thing that helped them overcome was not to be a chicken and go hide. You know, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as chickens. You know, a chicken can't fly. All he can do is run around and flap his wings. Amen? No, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall be like eagles. Amen? And they'll mount up. And one of the things we have to realize is because of the last days in which we're living, we're talking about the subject of boldness, bold faith, praise God. Now, I looked up the word boldness, and I want to give you some of the definitions from the Webster's, you know. In review, it says, boldness is an attitude of a strong confidence in God. I love that. This is out of the original 1828 Webster's. Noah Webster Dictionary had all the Bible descriptions, you know. That boldness is an attitude of strong confidence in God and fearlessness of any consequences. Hallelujah. Some of the synonyms for boldness is bravery, courage, enterprise, fearlessness. I like this, guts. That speaks my language. Hey, you got some guts? I used to say that when we were growing up, you know. Nerve. I like this final one, strong confidence. Strong confidence. Not only do I want to talk about the subject of boldness and discover what it is, but I want to show us how to tap into that. You see, the devil works on something, on a word that I'm going to give you here in just a second, that he's used from the Garden of Eden. And he uses this thing called intimidation. Intimidation. And he tries to intimidate people in the body of Christ. And most of the time he'll use other people, he'll use circumstances, to try to intimidate you, to put you in a position where you're fearful. Where you're fearful, where you're basically in a frozen mentality, where you don't want to do anything because of fear. And Satan always operates through a spirit of fear. But the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we'll read this out of the King James. We saw this 2 weeks ago. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. So what's it say? Let us come to the throne of grace. How? Boldly. Boldly. So we know that our approach to God means everything. Amen? Now if you go, Josh, bring up the New Living translation of that same scripture. And it says, so let us come boldly unto the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help when we need it the most. Interesting. I don't know about you, but have anybody here ever needed help before? Did you ever need grace to help in the time of need? Did you ever get your back up against the wall? You're like, oh, Lord, I need some help right now. Well, let me tell you something. When your back's up against the wall, you're in the best place that you could be. You could have fooled me, someone says, you know. When your back's up against the wall, the only way that you would be in trouble is if you don't look to God. Are you with me now? The only reason that people succumb to pressure and things like that, and I'm talking even Christian folks, is because a lot of people haven't learned to turn to God. The Bible says He is our very present help in the time of need. Not just future. But when you need help, you need it right now. Right? Well, the Bible says God is our present help in the time of need. Now, our approach to God is so important. It says that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. In other words, there's grace to help, ability to help you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when I recognize my inadequacies, when I recognize my weaknesses, which most of us, we can recognize where we're weak. But the Bible says we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But it says we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, how can we do that? Go to Hebrews 10. You're right there anyway in the neighborhood. Just turn over to chapter 10. That's Hebrews chapter 10. We know that according to chapter 4, that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Not timidly, not sheepishly. Are you with me now? See, you know, we a lot of times, you know, it's kind of funny, but people, when they don't know what the Bible says, they base things on Hollywood movies and things like that. And I remember when I can't remember the name of the movie, when I was a kid growing up, you know, and I know I shouldn't have been watching it, but I watched it, you know. And it was about this girl who was demon-possessed. Man, she would defeat grown men. Grown men would just whip them, man. She was so filled with the devil, you know. So they said, let's get a priest. So they got a priest in there. You know, he came in with his collar in black and everything, and he had this big old cross, you know. And so he comes into the room. She's like, rawr! You know. And before you know it, the cross, the priest, the Bible, and everything, he held up the cross, you know, thinking that's going to do something. The Bible doesn't say, hold up your cross and resist the devil. It says, no, use the name of Jesus. It's like this. You know, you're hoping she's not going to swing at you or something, you know. But that demon-possessed girl so filled with the devil picked that priest up, threw him across the Bible and everything, went across the room. Amen. And so we have these crazy ideas that's, listen, the devil is afraid of the name of Jesus. He's terrified of the name of Jesus. I had an unusual experience one time when the demon was audibly speaking to me. I won't go into detail. It terrified me at first, but I said, when I finally got enough nerve up, I said, in the name. As soon as I said, in the name, that thing stopped, that voice stopped. You know? See, the devil, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James chapter 4. You resist the devil and he what? He flees from you. The word flee actually means to run as if in terror. Amen? Now, the devil's supposed to run from you and from me. Well, there's one amen there, amen. The devil is supposed to run from you. Why? Because of Jesus. He's the one that lives on the inside of you. Yeah. You see, the enemy's not so much afraid of you as he's afraid of the one that lives on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. You see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and I'm glad I came today to hear this. 1 John 4, 4 says this, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, and the them that John is talking about is demons and devils and evil spirits. He said, you have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is the enemy afraid of? He is afraid of the greater one that lives on the inside of you. You see, when you got saved, when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you didn't just get your sins wiped out. That's part of it. But God placed within you the person of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me now? I was mentioning this some time ago, you know, and I don't know why I guess the Lord was showing me this, but I saw a lady that was about 9 months pregnant. And she looked like she's about to give birth, you know. And I looked, and all of a sudden it struck me, there's another person in there. You know what I mean? There's another person in there. You can't see the person, but it's going to come manifested in just a couple of days. Amen? Listen, the Bible says Christ dwells in you by faith. Christ is the anointed one. Amen? Now, he's in there because God said that he was. You can't look in there and get a microscope or a magnifying glass and say, oh, there he is, there he is. But he is in you as a Christian, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of nothing. I know that's bad English, but are you with me? When fear comes against you, you can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord. Now, did you find Hebrews chapter 10? Check out this verse in verse 19. It says this. Now, we know that according to chapter 4 that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Then in chapter 10, it says how we're to do that. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you see that? Now, the holiest part that he's speaking about right there is the Holy of Holies that you and I are familiar with. Anybody ever see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? Years ago, right? And they, you know, those guys that tried to capture the Ark, you know, they got in there and all of a sudden, man, you know, this ghost-like creature came out of that thing and just ripped the skin off their face, man. You remember that? All right. Moving right along. But in the Old Testament, the common folk could not go into the Holy of Holies because they'd fall dead. They'd fall dead because of their spiritual condition. The high priest could only go in there once a year under certain precautions. I mean, he had to do everything totally perfect, everything. He had to wear the right clothes. You know, if he did anything wrong, he's done, okay? Why? Because man in his sinful state couldn't come before God. Now, that high priest was a representative and a mediator between the common people and God. And he would make sacrifices every year, once a year, for the sins of the people of Israel. But the sins weren't wiped away. They were just covered for a year. Okay? But see, under the New Testament, the Lord moved out on resurrection. And the Bible says that the curtain that was in the temple, Josephus, a Jewish historian, said this, the curtain was 40 feet long, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick. And the Bible says that that curtain was torn from top to bottom when Jesus was raised. Whoosh, not from bottom to top, top to bottom. Signifying that God was no longer living in a box. He was going to now live in the people of God that he shed his blood for. Now notice the scripture right once again here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, notice this, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? Through the blood of Jesus. Say, through the blood of Jesus. Okay. Now, this is something that really excites me. I mean, just turns me on. This just so excites me for this reason. That you and I can come boldly before God's throne in prayer with boldness and with confidence. Why? Because of the blood. That's why I had you say that. Someone wrote a song years ago, Based Upon the Blood. When you understand and you talk about the power of the blood of Jesus, it just drives the devil crazy because that's what gives you and me the boldness to access God's throne. And you might have screwed up majorly in your life. You might have messed up, you know, and you want to just sheepishly come before God. Oh, God, I've really screwed up. I've really messed up. But the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You come by the blood of Jesus. See, none of us were worthy. None of us could do enough good deeds to make ourselves right in God's sight. None of us could. I mean, you could live in a church. Like someone said, you know, you can sleep in a garage that don't make you a car. Amen? You can go to church all your life, every day of the week. That doesn't make you a Christian. It's what you do with Jesus. By saying, yes, Jesus, I need a Savior. And you humble yourself and you say, Lord, I can't do this, but I need a Savior. Come into my life. That's the greatest miracle that there is the new birth. But the scripture says right here in Hebrews 10, therefore, brethren, he's talking to you and I, he says that boldness, we have boldness to enter into the holiest. How? Through the blood of Jesus. So boldness. Now there's a difference between, and I want to qualify this, but there's a difference between boldness and arrogance. Okay? Sometimes people confuse the two, you know, and but see, arrogance is pride. It's rooted in pride. And arrogance says, I can handle this. I can do this. I'm really something. Now, there's nothing wrong with having confidence, but really our confidence has to be in God. Now, anything that I see within myself that may be beneficial or helpful to other people, I recognize that is God's grace on me to help me help other people. I'm so aware of that because without His grace, I would not be standing here right now. I know that. Because I know what Keith could produce, and it wasn't a whole lot. I know what, when I tried to speak in front of my classmates and 10th and 11th grade, I mean, I utterly failed the class. I'm not proud of it, but I did. I failed speech class. I did. I was terrified to get up in front of people and talk in front of people. I just had this ungodly fear about this, you know, for whatever reason. And I know it's because God was calling me to the ministry. But when God started talking to my heart about going into the ministry, I thought, are you kidding me? I'm the last person that He would want to call in my mind, you know. Long story short, the Lord said, lean on my grace because that will enable you to do it. Then you'll know where the miracle came from and He will get all the glory. Amen. Amen? Amen. See, where's the boasting? There is no boasting. It's in the Lord. The Bible says, if any man boasts, let him boast in what the Lord has done. Thank you, Lord. That's the best place to be in. The safest place to be in is when anything happens. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We give God the glory. Any abilities and talents and gifts that you have used for the body of Christ came because of God's grace. Are you with me? So how are we're to approach the throne of God with boldness? We're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And it's because of the blood. Yes. I don't know about you, but anybody here ever messed up before? No. I'm not asking for a show of hands or anything like that, but you know, you screwed up, you messed up, you know. We've all been in that place, okay? And there's a tendency to be sheepish about sometimes we retract and say, oh God, you know. I made mention of the fact one time there was a guy that was coming to my church years ago. And basically I saw him about once every 6 weeks. And I knew he had some struggles in some areas in his life, you know, and he just felt condemned and beat up, you know what I mean? He just had this, looked like he'd been whipped. He comes into church, man. And then he started apologizing to me. Pastor, I'm sorry. I just been messing up, you know. And when I get my act together, I'll be there more often. I said, wait a minute. I said, you come just like you are. We had that song, Come Just As You Are. Amen. The Lord understands more than anything that you've been having struggles. You've been having issues in certain areas. But you come just like you are because you're accepted just like you are. Faults and all. God accepts you. The Bible says you're accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Isn't that what high school's all about? Who's accepted, who's rejected? Amen. Still that day, to this day, it's that way. Oh, you belong to that group. No, you belong to that group, you know. And it's all based on performance. It's all based on, you know, your athletic abilities, your brains. And if you don't have any, you're like, where do I fit in? Are you with me now? Yeah. And it can screw with your head. It can mess with your head as a young person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you realize, well, wait a minute. No, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Okay. You know, people brag about, you know, they met some athlete or they met some actor or actress. You know what I'm saying? They think, yeah, I got their autograph. I got to talk to so-and-so. I got my picture with so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? And people take pride in that. You know what I'm trying to say? But here's the thing. I talked to God this morning. You what? I talked to God this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, He's bigger than any athlete. He's bigger than any actor or actress or any celebrity that's out there. And you and I can talk to God. Amen. And He listens to us. Amen. And He communes with us. And we commune with Him. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. Amen. Come to God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? He didn't say, go to Joe's Bar and Grill. No, He says, come to me. Get your comfort from me. Yeah. And that's why the world, they want to get comfort in other things. That's what tries to bring them comfort. But listen, God says, I am your comforter. Come unto me. You come to me and I will help you. You come to me and I will set you free. Amen. So the word today is come. You say, well, I am born again. That's right. But keep coming. Keep coming to him. Draw strength from him. Draw nourishment from him. Remember Jesus talked about the vine and the branch, that the branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. It has to be connected to the vine. And he says, no more than you. You can't do that either unless you're connected to the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. And all the fruit that's born comes through the vine into the branch. But if you sever the branch from the vine, it ceases. Well, I've done this before. You know, you take a branch off a tree, you know, you whack it off, you know, and it still looks good. It still looks green. And you lay it on the ground. You come out 1 hour, 2 hours later, the branch, the leaves start to shrivel. At first, it looks exactly the same. But the very moment you cut off that limb, that sap ceases to go through from the vine to the branch. And therefore, death is an end result of that thing. Let's abide in Christ. Abide in the vine by prayer and fellowship with him. Like what we're doing this morning. Amen? And things won't be so hard. You know, I hear this in my spirit this morning. You know, that life doesn't have to be hard for the believer. I'm just prophesying this out right now out of my spirit. Life doesn't have to be hard for the believer because we have a very present help in the time of need. And if we access his throne and we come to him boldly, then there's a very present help present right there to help you in that situation. Amen. That's good. I'm coming to God. I don't know about you. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Go to Proverbs 28 real quick here. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. I'm actually still reviewing from last time, but that's okay. Amen. I won't keep you too long today. Amen. But Proverbs 28:1 says, and we're talking about boldness, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now look at the New Living Translation, if you bring that up there. The New Living Translation of Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. That sounds like fear to me. But the godly are as bold as lions. They tell us that, you know, the roar of a lion, you know, in Africa can be heard up to 2 miles. You know what I mean? That's why they call him the king of the jungle, because of that roar, you know? The whole animal kingdom starts to tremble and shake. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even the worms get afraid. Are you with me? But the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a what? A kitten? No, a lion. A lion. Praise God. Amen. You know, I got a cat at home. It's not a lion, but it's a cat, you know. And I got a dog as well, okay? No goldfish, but we got a cat and a dog. And that cat, even though he's smaller than our dog, he rules. Make no mistake about it. That cat says, it's going to be my way. And I'll feed the dog sometimes, and the cat will go over there and start eating the dog's food. And the dog stands back there and goes, oh, you're eating my food. I can just see the look on his face. But about 10 years ago, we went on vacation, and my sister volunteered to watch our cat while we were gone. Now, she had a big old dog. I mean, big dog. We had a medium-sized dog, but I'm telling you, that cat had those dogs scared out of its wits. And that dog was way bigger than the cat. But I mean, that cat, I'm telling you what, man, had a boldness about it. You know what I'm saying? And anyway, I don't know why I shared that, but I did anyway. But the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a what? A lion. Now look in the mirror and you say, you are as bold as a lion. Now you may not feel like it. In fact, you might feel intimidation at the moment. But you look in your mirror, literally, you look in the mirror and say, I am as bold as a lion. Because maybe you're about to face something. Maybe you're about to face a person in your life that's had a bad influence on you. And there's always this fear of intimidation The devil operates through fear and intimidation. Okay? How many know the devil's bold? The devil and his crowd, they're bold about what they do. They're bold about sin. They're bold about corruption. They're bold about this and that. But, you know, we can be more bold. Mm-hmm. Amen? And sometimes you just have to stand up and say, no. Now, you might be shaken. Amen? That's okay. Your body might be shaken. You say, no, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be intimidated by that person. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. The devil operates through what? Fear. And intimidation. I don't know about you, but I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down to intimidation. Are you with me now? When the enemy tries to come against you, you stand up against him and say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Hallelujah. God has created us and designed us to have a backbone of a crowbar, not like a jellyfish. Amen? When pressure and peer pressure try to come against us and things of this nature, you know, you stand up to that thing through Jesus, through his power, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Are you with me? Now, Brother Hagin years ago did a sermon called Boldness. That was the title of the sermon. I'm talking like 35 years ago. And he said something here, and I wrote it down as I heard it on the CD, or actually the cassette tape. And he did a one message thing. It wasn't a series. It was one message, and it was on boldness. And he said this. He was prophesying this. He says, just a little more boldness on the part of some would mean the difference between defeat by the devil or total victory in Christ. He said, just a little more boldness on the part of some ministers and pastors would mean the difference of victory and revival. Amen. Praise God. Amen. As a pastor, I have to obey what God puts in my heart. That may not please everybody. Okay? We make decisions based on prayer. We do things. We listen to the Holy Ghost. We do things that he wants us to do. And we base the information on what he is telling us to do. Now, I have come to the conclusion that that doesn't please everybody sometimes. Are you with me now? When you do what God tells you to do, and that's the same with y'all. You may do things, you know, God tells you to do something, you know, and not everybody will always understand that. Because not everybody will always understand your heart. Okay? But God understands your heart. Hallelujah. And so we have to have the courage and we have to have the boldness that even if we make a decision, it may not please all your family members. It may not please everybody. But the main thing is you have to obey what the Spirit of God tells you to do. Are you with me? Amen. And let me tell you something. God will back you every single time. Make no mistake about it. Amen. See, the Bible says the fear of man is a snare or a trap. But whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be made what? Safe. The fear of man is a what? A snare, a trap. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I had to make my mind up when I was just in high school. I got saved when I was 16 years old. And, of course, I was still in school. I was still in high school. And, of course, you know the different pressures that kids back then and even today that they face, the pressure, the peer pressure and all this kind of stuff. And I had to make my mind up, I'm going to live for God. Now, what happened to me when I was back in, like, seventh grade, there was a kid in the school that was, he was a Christian, all right? But he didn't use a whole lot of wisdom. You with me? And man, I'm telling you, he got ratted on. I mean, people would just abuse this kid, you know, not only verbally, but physically as well. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be like that. Are you with me now? But the Lord put it in my heart. He said, no, Keith, you're not that person. You don't have to act like them. They were obnoxious, actually, about it. You know what I mean? They'd wear the big old T-shirts in there in school, you know. And back in those days, that was like a major red flag. That's like putting a sticker on your back that says, kick me. Are you with me? Now, I'm not against T-shirts. I'm not against bumper stickers and all this kind of stuff. But, man, there's got to be more than just apparel and things of that nature and hats and bumper stickers that show that we're a Christian. That ought to be, people ought to look at our lives and say, there's something different about them. Let your life be an advertisement. So I had opportunities, like everybody else had, to compromise and give in. And to the grace of God, I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. You're going to help me do this. Amen. And I watched, not all this happened, but there was a few on a hand, one hand, there were some friends that I was able, people, kids in my classes through those last couple of years of high school, I was able to lead them to Christ. And that's before I ever knew I was even called to the ministry. I just was a Christian. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, boy, if I compromise, I would not be in a position. And those people, folks, they're going to heaven on something that I did. That humbles me. But if I was afraid of people and afraid of what they would think. See, the enemy always says, you know, if you share Jesus with them, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're an idiot, you know. And I, even to this day, I'm telling you, every single time I'm on the verge of witnessing to somebody, the devil says something in my mind, or puts a thought in my mind, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to walk away. But you know, let me tell you something. Satan is a liar. Amen. And every single time that I obeyed God and did what he wanted me to do, they were thankful. Because I wouldn't go to them, beat them over the head with the Bible. You know, Bible thumping Christian. Whack! Now, if you got one of those big family additional Bibles, you know, that are about that thick, you know, you're going to do some damage. But I'm talking about sharing the love of Christ with people. Amen? One day I was several years ago, and I was driving a school bus part-time. And we were at this elementary school, or junior high school, actually, and I was waiting in line, waiting for the kids to come out. And there's about 45, 50 buses waiting in line. And there was an older woman that was over here next to me, and our buses are off, we're parked, we're waiting, okay? And I looked at this lady, and some compassion rose up in my heart. And I had this thought, go over to her and share Jesus with her right now. Just tell her how much I love her. And my first reaction was like, I don't think so. Little tug of war going on, you know what I'm saying? This is just, I'm not even talking out loud. This is just inside. I'm a little tug of war. And finally, it was like, I said, no, I'm going to be bold about this. So I just opened my door, and I got down there, went over to her, and knocked on the door. And she opens up the door, looks at me. I go, can I share something with you? Oh, sure, come on in here. And I got to share Jesus Christ with her right on that bus, you know. Brought tears to her eyes, you know. But if I would have listened to the devil, fear and intimidation would have said, don't do that. They're going to think you're crazy. Are you with me? But the enemy was lying to me. Every single time that's happened, I've seen fruit. And all I do is tell them, I just want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. That's all it is. How can they fight against that? They can't. They melt like butter in the August sun. Are you with me? Jesus loves you. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And you know, the more you get used to saying that, and the more, when you face your fears, and I encourage you to do that, face your fears. Don't run from your fears. Face them head on. Because all of us have fears that come against us. But face those things, and with the grace of God, you'll be able to do certain things. You'll be able to help people. Amen? Praise God. Brother Mark was sharing with me last week, you know, about a good friend of his that he was able to lead to Christ. And it was really interesting because he was sharing with me how that, this is just a week ago, a few days ago, how that the initial thought was, he's closed, he's going to think I'm crazy, that kind of a thing, you know. But he just broke through that fear, and he got in a position and started to share with them. And his response was, man, you got me crying like a girl right now. Is that what he said? Yeah. And this is a hardcore guy, you know what I'm saying? But look at what God did. But in spite of the fears, in spite of the intimidation, you break through that thing. Okay? Are you with me? So let's go over real quick here. We only got a few minutes left here to
the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We'll probably close here today. But in Philippians chapter 1, you know the Apostle Paul was actually thrown in jail, not for smuggling drugs, but for preaching the gospel. Are you with me? For a righteous cause, Paul was thrown in jail. Now, it doesn't get any more intimidating than that. Right? They come and take you away in a paddy wagon. They throw you in jail. Right? That's what they used to call them, right? Years ago. They probably have different names for them now, but they'd throw you in jail. Paul was in jail. That's Patty's wagon, right? I mean. Where we go here? Okay, Philippians. I don't even know what's going on here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's look at the New Living Translation, if you would. We're going to read verses 12 through 19. And I want to show you, Paul was in jail. And he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he said some things that are really interesting here. And he says in verse 12, he says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, now he's talking about jail, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence, and notice this, and boldly speak God's message without fear. Isn't that interesting? Paul says there are people in prison here that are Christians that are in there for the same reason. And they've shrunk back because of fear. But Paul says, I've preached the gospel, and that confidence and that boldness is actually helping them. Okay? So verse 14 says, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers have gained a confidence, and notice, and boldly speak the message without fear. Verse 15. It is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach Christ with a pure motive. They preach because they love me, for they know that I've been appointed to defend the good news. Verse 17. And those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. He says, whether their motives are false or genuine, the message of Christ is being preached. Either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me and will lead to my deliverance. Wow. That's a lot right there, isn't it? Now, it's kind of interesting that back in even Paul's day, that you had Christians that were in prison, but they had wrong motives. In other words, they were kind of ticked off. They were like, man, we're in here for preaching the gospel, you know, and got a kind of a sour attitude about it. And they had an attitude, and Paul picked up on that. He says, some preach Christ out of a pure heart, but he says others do it because they're just mad, okay? They're bitter, in other words. How many of you know there's sometimes bitter Christians?
Yeah.
There shouldn't be, but sometimes people get bitter. Christians get bitter. Amen? Because they don't see the big picture. They don't see the whole thing at one time. Are you with me? And when people have a small vision, when they only see a part of the situation, it's so easy to make a judgment on something. But when they see the whole picture and they see what's going on, then they can have a pure heart and a pure motive. But Paul said that whether people are preaching out of a wrong motive or impure motive or a good motive, he said the main thing is Christ is being preached. Amen? Now, real quickly, we'll close here, okay? We have to close with this. But in Acts chapter 4. Now, it's interesting because Paul got out of prison. Yes, he did. Someone said, you know, Paul was in the prison, but the prison wasn't in him. So you might be in some kind of a prison in your life, some kind of a bondage, but you don't have to let that prison be inside you. And the people that had the prison in them are the ones that were bitter. In other words, they let outward circumstances affect what was in their heart. They're like, ah, you know what I'm saying? They're in a bad mood, okay? They have attitude problems. But yet there was others. They were in prison, but the prison wasn't in them. Joseph was a prime example. Oh, he could have been bitter, but instead he became better because he kept his eyes on the goal. He kept his eyes on the dream that God gave him about the ultimate, the end result. So that is, when you look at the vision of where you're going, those little things that try to get involved in your life along the way, those discouraging things that happen, some knotheads that come into your life, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Well-meaning people sometimes. Are you with me now? You have to forget about those people. And you have to look at the end result and say, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to run my race and come hell or high water, as people say. You know, and whatever comes against you, you know, you're not moved by that person or you're not moved by this circumstance. You say, no, I have my eyes on the vision. I have my eyes on the goal, and I'm going to reach my goal and I'm going to reach my vision. Why should I let some person offend me and throw off my course? I'm just being honest. Life is too precious to allow someone to offend you long term. Now, you might feel the pain, you might feel the agony and so forth, but you know what? Forgive them, go on. Hallelujah. You got to keep your eyes on the goal. Do you know how many people are in life today, in the Christian realm today, that got off and shipwrecked spiritually? They got off course because of what someone else did. Someone else lived wrong before them. Someone else did something wrong. But you know, we've all had things like that happen. And we could all tell stories to each other, right? We could all start crying. Bring a major box of tissues in here. You know what I'm saying? We could all do that, couldn't we? Do you know what they did to me? And they did this. And usually it's a Christian, because that's the ones that have the most pain. You're not expecting that from them. Now, you expect it from Joe Sinner, you know what I'm saying? But when they're a believer, whatever, you know, then there's a tendency to take what they said and take it to heart and then thwart the plan of God for our lives. Praise God. The other day, you know, I was in a mall area, you know, and there was people coming in and out of this grocery store. And you know, there's cars parked on this big parking lot. Cars were parked on both sides. And there was this dude, this older guy, I want to say in his mid-70s, and had his windows down. He had a white Honda car, Accord. I remember that. And it wasn't you, Mark. I know you got a white Honda, but it wasn't you. You're a young feller. But people were walking to their car, but they're walking in the middle of the lane, you know, where cars are supposed to be, because they have their shopping carts, and they're walking in there. And this guy just freaks on them. And I won't even repeat what he said. He's screaming out the window, you know, get the blankety blank out of the way. You know, all these four-letter words, you know, that choice words, you know, dropping the F-bomb and all this stuff on these precious women that are walking out, you know, with their babies and stuff. And everybody stopped and looked. And the lady goes, wow. And I go, he's having a rough day. You know what I'm saying? He's having a rough day. He's just kicking the cat. The cat's not the problem. You know what I'm saying? There's something else going on back yonder. There's something else eating his lunch. Some other fear that's going on. Because, see, anger is nothing more than a manifestation of fear. I used to think about that. Someone gets angry, mad. Why? They're trying to take control. They're trying to... People that have a controlling spirit get angry real easy. Because they're trying to control the environment. They're trying to control people. They're trying to control everything. No, no. When you realize where that's coming from, that no, I can be at peace. I can be at rest. And what anybody else does, that's their issue. But you know what? I want to keep my heart pure. I want to keep my heart right. I want to stay in love because I want to stay in the blessing. And so whatever comes against you, whoever comes against you, and whatever situations try to intimidate you, you know, keep your eyes on the vision. Keep your eyes on the goal. Praise God. Now, in Acts 4, in closing, the early church was threatened by the authorities of the day, the leaders of their city, that said, look, we're making a law. You cannot preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. There was a guy that was healed. And so look what happened. 4:21 of Acts. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, the miracle. For the man was about 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. In verse 23, see, and being let go, they went to their own company. Praise God for your own company. Amen. What is that? That's the body of Christ. That's the local church. When you get in trouble, who do you go to? We should go to our own company. That's this church right here. Amen? And reported to all the chief priests that always had said unto them, verse 24, and when they had heard that, okay, so these are major threats here, by the way. In verse 24, they heard that. They lifted up their voice to God in one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven, earth, sea, and all that is within. Now, it's interesting because this actually records what they prayed. A lot of times in Acts, it just says they prayed, but it doesn't say what they prayed. I believe the Holy Spirit put this in here for a reason. They're being threatened, intimidated. But what did they do? They lifted up their voice in verse 24 to God, one accord, and said, Lord, you are God. Notice they didn't pray the problem, they prayed the answer. They said, you have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within. Notice that they said three things, heaven, earth, and sea. It struck me one time years ago that the very thing that they mentioned, these were big things, heaven, earth, sea. Did God make those? Okay. Did God make the creepy crawlers? Okay. Did God make the ants? Yeah. Okay. They didn't say, Lord, you're the God that made the ants. No, they could have. But everything that they said was enormous. Humongous. Let's got two words mixed up there. We just created a new word today. Enormous. So what did they do? They said, Lord, you've made the heaven, the earth, and the sea. So what are they doing? They're magnifying the bigness of God. When you and I face adversity in our lives, listen to me very carefully. When you face adversity in your life, I'll come over here where I can see the whites of your eyes. When you face adversity in your life, you have to posture yourself to see how big God is. Your mind's going to go squirrely on you. Your mind's going to say, how are we going to work this out? How's this going to work out? How am I going to pay that bill? How's this going to happen? Okay, your mind will cave under that pressure. It's designed to do that. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Don't lean to this. Lean on this. Amen. And I'll acknowledge your ways. So what did they do? They prayed, said, Lord, you're the God that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's within. And they went on in verse, let's go down to verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, they're praying, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, notice that, we may speak thy word. So what did they do in the face of intimidation? See, it's what we do in the face of intimidation that will make the difference. When an unexpected bill shows up, when bad news, when Sister So-and-so calls, the phone rings and it's bad news. Matter of fact, every time you talk to that person, it's always bad news. So you look on your caller ID and say, I ain't picking that up. Because you know it's always going to be Sister Bad News. Sister Bucket Mouth or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Are you with me now? Some people, they just love bad news. They love to talk about, they love to spread bad news. Negative stuff. Did you hear the latest? No, what? Well, guess what I found out. Are you with me now? But notice it says right here, when bad news came, what did they do? Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by the stretching forth of thy hand to heal, that, notice this, signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And finally, in the last verse, it says, verse 33, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. Amen. So what did they do, folks? What did they do? They prayed, and they asked the Lord for boldness. I would like to close with that today, as I want to pray for you. What do we need boldness for? In this case, it was against the authorities of the day. Okay? That whole thing that just happened with the IRS, with the government, is nothing more than the devil trying to create intimidation with people that are trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. If you're up on what's going on there. Okay? But what did they do? They prayed for boldness. And what did God do? Says, he filled them with such boldness that the very building shook. I mean, that would be like these walls and the floor and the chairs. Everything starts like trembling. Like there's an earthquake. You know what I'm saying? They prayed with such intensity. They prayed for the boldness of God. That regardless of what they said, they still opened their mouth. Even though they were threatened, they said, we're gonna open our mouth. We're still going to share the gospel. Folks, listen, if the government came and they made a law that it's against the law to preach the gospel, we have a higher law to go by. Amen. If it came down to that, I don't believe it is, but in this country, if it came down to it's illegal to preach the gospel, I would still preach the gospel. Amen. Without the fear of the consequences of being thrown in jail. Why? Because we have a higher law to go by. God's law. And he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? That's the higher law. Now, that's an extreme situation right there. But here's where most of us are, we're not being thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. Thank God for that. Amen? But the intimidation of situations and circumstances that you face in your life. Sometimes a sickness can be an intimidation. A disease can be an intimidation that stares you in the face and says, you ain't getting healed. Now, that's not a literal voice, but the thoughts come to your mind. You ain't getting healed? Mm-hmm. Huh? You know what Doc Seuss said? Yeah, it's Dr. Seuss, right? Just kidding. He said, this is incurable. You're not getting healed. But Jesus said, you are healed. By my stripes, you're healed. What the world calls incurable is now curable through Jesus Christ, because all things are possible to him that believeth. Man, I feel faith rising up in our hearts here this morning. So you know better than anybody else, what is it that has tried to intimidate you in your life, circumstantially? What situations have come up in your life that seem to keep pushing you down, keep pushing you down? Here's what we're going to pray today, and then I will let you go, praise God. Is we're going to pray, let's stand up, in fact. Sometimes when you physically stand up, that's an outward expression of what you're doing on the inside. Are you with me? Bless the Lord. Now, what I feel led of the Lord to do is to lead you in a prayer today, a confessional prayer. And I want you to pray it out loud enough you can hear yourself. Amen. No whispering. No, speak it out loud. Okay? Just like you were talking to one of your buddies. Are you with me? Close your eyes and say this with me and mean it. And I'll tell you, God will answer your prayer today and he will infuse you and fill you with new boldness. Say this with me boldly. Heavenly Father,
I
come boldly
to the throne of grace
that I might obtain
strength
to face
any adversity
in my life.
I am praying right now
for godly
boldness.
To speak your word.
To live right.
To seek your face.
Regardless
of the circumstance.
Fill me now, Lord.
With a fresh anointing
of holy boldness
from heaven above.
And by faith,
I have it now.
I'm as bold as a lion.
In Jesus' name.
I thank you, Lord.
Now let's just thank Him and praise Him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, you know,
before we leave here today.
If you're here and you want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord in your life,
I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not even going to call you out.
This is just between you and the Lord.
And that's why we have everybody bow their heads. And
if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to get my heart right with God.
I want to know God better. I want to move forward with Him.
Would you lift your hand up? Just boldly lift it up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I see hands everywhere. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Now say this with me. Jesus.
I thank you.
You are Lord.
I make you my Lord.
And my Savior.
Right now.
Come in me, Lord.
Fill me.
Cleanse me.
Wash me.
Purify me.
With your precious blood.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Father, I pray for each one here that raised their hand right now.
Lord, I thank you that they didn't hesitate.
There was no hesitation. And instantly they lifted their hands,
which shows me, Father God, that they're serious about you helping them.
They were quick to respond, and they were not hesitant.
And I thank you, Lord, that as you said, if we draw near to you, you would draw near to us.
And just as they've lifted their hands, you're right there, Father.
And I'm asking you to help each one here that raised their hand. But not only that, everybody here that has any kind of situation in their life right now that's been harassing them and putting fear and intimidating them in any way, shape, or form, we break the power of the devil in Jesus' name over each and every one here.
Satan, you're a liar. And you get out right now in Jesus' name.
We are the people of God.
And we thank you for it.
I thank you for a fresh anointing for these that are here right now, Lord.
That we'll walk out of here with a new confidence, a new boldness.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.